All right, beloved, now let's get into the Word of God this morning and believe God to do something significant in our lives. You know, probably the most asked question I've received over the last, 6 weeks or so, ever since the virus hit, is, Pastor Steve, what do you think God is saying to us right now? I hear it all the time. I hear people ask me, other pastors ask me. It seems to be the question, what is God saying right now? Well, listen, I think God's saying a ton of different things. He's not just saying one thing. I think he's surely saying, hey, y'all slow down. I think he's saying that. I think he's saying, hey, are you understanding the importance of slowing down and getting quiet? I think he's talking to us about the importance of drawing close to him in quietness, drawing close to our families, our husbands, our wives, our children, drawing close as a family unit. I think he's saying, hey, this is a time to reset your priorities. Has this sunk into anybody yet? As we've kind of quieted ourselves, drawn near to God, drawn closer to one another, that God has said to us, listen, we've got to reset our priorities. We've spent so much time busying ourselves with non-essential, non-eternal things. Like, has that light switched on for you yet? Listen, God is asking us to reset our priorities. And of course, he's saying, don't fear. Don't panic, trust me. I think God's saying all of these things and other things as well. But beloved, listen to me. If you're asking me what is the passion of my heart right now, what do I think God is saying? Here's what I think God is saying. I think God is saying that this is about taking new territory in troubling times. I believe that. I believe God is challenging the church to take new territory, yes, even in these troubling times, yes, even now. This is no time to panic, get fearful, fall apart, and it's surely not a time to retreat. It's just not. It's time to discern what's happening, to hit the reset button for those things that are essential and eternal, and then it is time for the church to take new territory. Friends, listen to me. I think something happens in us when, listen, we're not used to being quarantined. We don't know what that's about. But there's something that happens to us in being quarantined where we think it's just, it's only about just kind of getting passive and getting apathetic and just waiting this out. And, we'll kind of get back in the swing of things sometime later. No, I'm not going to scream, but I'm screaming in my spirit like, no. This isn't a time for us to just do nothing. This is time for us to take new territory. And so we're going to be starting this new series in the book of 1 Thessalonians today. Now, we're not going to really, really get into the book of Thessalonians. I'm going to point some things out about it. But this is where we're going to go over the next several weeks. The book of 1 Thessalonians, I want you to become very, very intimate with it. Read through it. And what we're going to see in this first century church is that it is a perfect role model for what the church needs to be today. This book study is going to give us vision. It's going to give us inspiration. It's going to educate us of what our lives can and should look like for the glory of God again. Yes, even in troubling times. Now, friends, if you've been in this church any amount of time, my heart aches and breaks as much as it rejoices for the church when we get stuff right. But like, there's something I can identify. I remember as a young Christian, I remember reading this for the first time where it speaks of Jesus and it says in John's gospel that zeal for God's house had eaten Jesus up. And I read that and I so identified with that because I thought, Lord, I've just got this zeal that just is gnawing at me and eating me up for your house, for your people, for the church, to get it right, to live right, to make a difference, to impact the world. I'm consumed with this. And this series, friends, is in that same spirit, I've got to tell you. Because I get concerned and consumed as I watch contemporary Christianity all but depart from the purpose and passion of taking new territory for Jesus. Now, the great pollster George Barna, some time ago, had done a poll, and the results of the poll, friends, they were staggering and saddening at the same time. Do you know, friends, that according to Barna's survey, that the average Christian doesn't worship at all during the week? They might worship on Sunday mornings, but during the week, they're not worshiping at all. They're not magnifying and glorifying God during the week. Man, how tragic is that? That the average Christian dies without leading one person to Christ. Tragic. The average person can't name just one person that they are currently praying for to come to Christ. When it comes to giving, and I thank God for the beautiful, wonderful, generous people of Grace Chapel. I don't believe this applies to us at all, but listen to this about giving. 10% of the body of Christ gives 10% of their income. That means there's 90% who don't follow the clear biblical teaching of tithing. 90% don't believe it and don't follow it. 10% give 10%. The average giving amongst the body of Christ is 3%. And when he asked them in the poll, they said, "We feel that giving 3% is sacrificial." Friends, there's a problem here. There's a problem. Finally, the last question in the poll revealed something about us that's, again, surprising, staggering, and saddening. The average Christian watches more TV in one night than serving other people for an entire month. Friends, do you see and understand, do you realize that so much of the body of Christ is in trouble? Do you understand why we're not making the difference that we could be making? Now, I read, apart from this particular poll, just the reality of those who consider themselves evangelical Christians, who haven't even registered to vote and who don't even vote. If we could just get the evangelical Christians, those who confess to be followers of Jesus, if we could just get them voting, friends, we could run this country. According to godly principles, we would see the end of things that are damaging and destroying our nation. But we'd rather sit back. We'd rather do nothing. I don't want to register. I don't want to vote. I don't want to give. I don't want to serve. I don't want to pray for people to come to Christ. I don't want to share my faith. But I'll go to church every once in a while and say I'm a believer. Friends, there's a problem with that. There's a serious problem with that. And I'm afraid for people, come Judgment Day, they're gonna have a rude awakening when they come to find out what following Jesus was really about and what they settled for. Serious, serious stuff. Listen, friends, I believe the church is the greatest organism on the earth. It has the greatest message, it has the greatest mandate, and it brings the greatest hope. And when we get it right, it's beautiful. I think we just sometimes forget what right looks like. I long to see the church at large. I long to see the church be what God has called us to be. I've seen glimpses of it in the past. And again, when the church gets it right, it's beautiful. But friends, what if we all committed to the rightness and the greatness of what the church should and could be? What difference might God make through us? What new territory might we take? It's interesting to me, friends, as we go through 1 Thessalonians, the culture of Thessalonica when that book was written is very similar to what we have in America today. And if those in Thessalonica were so impacted by the gospel of Jesus and that they then impacted others, friends, we can be impacted this same way. It is the same spirit that is alive and moving in our midst if we'll just cooperate with him. And so, friends, the book of 1 Thessalonians tells us, it gives us, if you will, a blueprint for spiritual significance and how to take territory even in troubling times. All right, let me give you some quick background about this. The Apostle Paul is on his second missionary journey and he's got Silas with him. He departs from Philippi, which we'll talk about in just a little bit. And the next major city he comes to is Thessalonica. Thessalonica is in Greece. It's off the Via Ignatia, the famous highway that the Romans built that connected people all the way from Rome to Macedonia. It's close to Mount Olympus, the home of the 12 Greek gods. About 200,000 people lived in ancient Thessalonica. It was a prosperous seaport. They knew what commercial success was. In fact, they were so successful that they were considered a free city by Rome. Even though they were part of the Roman Empire, they were allowed to rule themselves. So they were self-ruled, though part of the empire. We're talking about a significant city that had a resort area with hot springs. It was filled, friends, with Roman debauchery. Lust and lasciviousness ruled and reigned as it did only in Roman times. Greek paganism, Roman materialism was rampant. There was a large Jewish population there, however. But what did they face? They faced a pagan society raging against God, godliness, morals, and righteousness. Exactly like today. They were facing troubling times. And the Apostle Paul shows up and changes everything because he was intent. Listen to me, friends. He was intent upon taking new territory even in troubling times. It's into this type of atmosphere, after being beaten, imprisoned, and miraculously released from prison in the book of Acts chapter 16, that Paul and Silas then show up preaching the exact same gospel that had almost cost them their lives multiple times over. They show up into Thessalonica ready to take new territory in those troubling times. And we see this story of the birth of the church in Thessalonica. Acts chapter 17, I'm going to read verses 1-9. Here we go. Pay attention, friends. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. Then Paul, as his custom was, went into them, and for three Sabbaths, that's just three short weeks, he reasoned with them from the scriptures, explaining and demonstrating that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead. And he said, "This Jesus whom I preach to you is the Christ." He's the Messiah. And some of them were persuaded, means there were converts then. And a great multitude of the devout Greeks and not a few of the leading women joined Paul and Silas. But the Jews who were not persuaded became envious. They took some of the evil men from the marketplace and gathered a mob. They set all the city in an uproar and attacked the house of Jason and sought to bring them out to the people. But when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some brethren to the rulers of the city, and listen to what they cried out. "These who have turned the world upside down have come here too, and Jason has harbored them. And these are all acting contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there's another king and his name is Jesus." And they troubled. And they troubled the crowd and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. So when they had taken security from Jason and the rest, they let them go. The Apostle Paul and Silas, his traveling partner, are right back at it, preaching in the synagogue in Thessalonica after the trouble that he had in Philippi. And he's preaching, Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the King. He's not backing down at all in these troubling times. He is in the process. I love this. Man, this is powerful on so many levels. He's in the process of turning the world, they said, upside down, but it was really right side up. He had a reputation that far exceeded his own physical presence. Those in Thessalonica, the Jews there, had heard about this Saul of Tarsus, who had become Paul the Apostle, who was traveling the world preaching and teaching that Jesus is Christ and King. His reputation preceded him as being a world changer, as someone who turns the world upside down, or from our standpoint, right side up. How awesome. He's in the process, even in the midst of trouble, of taking new territory. Now, friends, listen to me. Paul's holy boldness produced life-changing holy boldness in the Thessalonians. Listen to this. In 3 short weeks, they went from being total pagan unbelievers with no church in their midst to having a church with elders, leaders, servants, and making a huge difference in their society and beyond that. Man, listen. Like, that's a huge wow moment. I look at that as a pastor and just go, oh, that the Lord would do that in people's hearts again. Friends, I want to tell you, it doesn't take 10 years before a convert is capable of becoming a world changer for Christ. It took them 3 weeks. It just takes someone who will take God and his calling seriously. And as that person steps out in faith, God reaches out with power and bam, you have a person and a church that'll take new territory even in troubling times, just like those in Thessalonica did. Now, beloved, listen to me, please, listen to me. This is a time right now for you and the body of Christ as a whole. This is a time of reset. And it is a time of reset so that we can take new territory in our troubled times. It is a time for us to increase our commitment to Christ, to our families, to our spouses and our children. It's time for us to increase our commitment to the church family. It's time for us to increase our commitment to reaching out to the world. It's time for us, friends, to be equipped. And I mean more equipped than you've ever been before. And like, no more excuses. No more excuses. Not like, well, the church is closed. The church isn't closed. We're crushing it. We're reaching more people right now than ever before. Don't use COVID-19 as an excuse to not do anything. We've got our Zoom classes happening, teaching all kinds of different Bible studies. There's all kinds of there's plenty of things that you could be doing. Get equipped. Increase your commitment to one another. Friends, stay in touch with people. Pray with one another. Reach out to people. Don't retreat. Don't retreat. Reach out. I want to challenge you to do something. Those of you who are on Facebook, which is most of the world, would you just look at your Facebook feed and see how much preaching and sharing of Jesus is in your Facebook feed? Would you look at your Twitter account? Would you look at your Instagram account? We have a world right now that is ripe and hungry for truth and answers. We need some social media missionaries. Use your page, use your platform, use your influence to point people to Jesus. Like, now is the time. Let's take new territory, even in troublesome times. Let's increase our commitment to reaching the community. Again, sharing life and love of Jesus. That's what the Thessalonians did, and that's what Paul exhorted and encouraged them to do, to continue growing in it, to continue taking new territory. In chapter 1, there's no less than 10 incredibly powerful attributes that are ascribed to those in Thessalonica. No less than 10 incredible things that had happened to them in just 3 short weeks of being with Paul. They so received the word of God and the gospel in 3 weeks. Man, they became changed, and they changed everyone around them. 10 things in chapter 1 alone. In chapter 2, 1 Thessalonians 2:12, what does Paul say to him? Man, I would that you would walk worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. He's encouraging them to continue to walk worthy of God. Continue to walk, continue the journey, continue to take new territory. Don't sit back and get comfortable. Chapter 3, 1 Thessalonians 3:12, He says, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you. Follow our example. Increase and abound. Grow. Take new territory. Chapter 3, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1. Finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you receive from us how you also ought to walk and to please God. It's like Paul is a holy broken record. Do you see what he's doing, friends? To a church that has already got it so right and doing so well, when he writes to him, he says, in essence, don't stop. Continue to increase, abound more and more. Don't slow down, don't give up, don't rest on your laurels. This isn't a time to retreat, this is a time to take new territory, even in troubling times. By the time we get to chapter 5, verses 15, or excuse me, one more thing in 1 Thessalonians 4:10, he said, but we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more. I just want you to see, it's in every chapter, some chapters multiple times, Paul is exhorting them. And finally in 1 Thessalonians 5:16 and 17, what is it again? Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In other words, don't get lazy, don't get lukewarm. You started so good, come on, keep it that way. Don't get lackadaisical, don't phone it in. Don't be an average Christian, don't do it. Friends, Paul realized that you can't take new territory in troubling times if you're satisfied with how far you've already come, what you've accomplished, or where you're currently at. No matter how impressive it might be or sound, no matter how awesome and rooted and grounded they were after just 3 weeks of being with Paul, he writes to him sometime later and says, listen, y'all, keep it up, keep going, keep going. Paul's own attitude should light a fire in every single one of us. As he wrote to those in Philippi, chapter 3, verses 13 through 15, what does he say? Brethren, if you want to know how I look at myself, here's what he says. Brethren, I don't count myself to have apprehended, but here's what I'm doing. I'm forgetting the things which are behind. I'm reaching forward to the things which are ahead. I'm pressing toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. He says, forget your past. Forget your bad past because it'll paralyze you. Forget your good past because it'll keep you in an unholy contentment. Forget your past. Reach forward to what's ahead. Take the new territory in troubling times. Forget your past, reach forward. Press toward the goal for the prize. Friends, there is a goal and there is a prize, and his name is Jesus and his purpose is his kingdom. Get after it. Take new territory. And he said, friends, this is how a mature Christian thinks. What we're talking about today, taking new territory in troubling times and not thinking that we've arrived or apprehended, thinking we can put it on cruise control. No, 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 no. He said, this kind of passionate pursuit of Jesus, this is how the mature Christian mind thinks. And he said, if you're gonna argue with that, here's the deal. God's gonna show it to you sooner or later. You're gonna realize, friends, that this is what God has called us out to. This is what God has called us for. This is the difference that he's caused us to live by and the difference that he's caused us to make in a world. Friends, this isn't the first time I've had the opportunity to say this over the 25 and a half years I've been at Grace Chapel. But I wanna tell you, I'm so thankful for so many wonderful people who've made Grace Chapel as successful and thriving and growing as it is today. People have given over the years their time and their talents. They've given of their resources, they've given their treasures. People have served and loved and given sacrificially. We've had our own lives changed as we've taken new territory together over the years. We've seen other people's lives changed because we weren't content just getting our own and then sitting back and sitting still. We've reached a lot of people. We've done a lot of good. But friends, I gotta tell you just two things. We can't stop. We can't stop personally, and we can't stop corporately. This is no time to rest in our past accomplishments. This is time for us to take new territory. I'm doing this in my own life, friends. I'm looking at this thing and going, how can we reach people? This is why I started Promises Not Panic in the morning. I'm up at 4 o'clock every single day, Monday through Friday, preparing, praying, crying out to God, teaching the word on my Facebook page. Tens of thousands of people have watched these videos. It's been unbelievable. We've been at it now. We just finished our sixth week of uninterrupted pursuing the presence and the promises of God so that panic can be vanquished from our life. Nobody tells me to do that. That's me listening to God and saying, okay, Lord, let's take some new territory here. What does it look like for you to take new territory? Personally, what does it look like for you? Dad, husband, is new territory for you? Gathering your family together and praying with them and praying for them? Is it you getting up early and joining me in the morning? I don't know what it is for you, but what's new territory for you, Mom? What's new territory for you, brother, sister? What does it look like? Friends, this is time to take new territory, even in troublesome times. What does it look like for you to take new territory? We need to get beyond our walls. We need to step up, and we need to love and serve and reach out and take this new territory. We need to be salt and light, difference makers, disciples, servants, like for real. We can't just understand that in our head. We've got to see what that looks like in this new season that we're in. What does the reset look like for us? What difference can we make? Friends, you've got to care enough to even be informed. Like, do you get our emails? I mean, it's that simple. Do you get our emails that are filled with opportunities for you to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus and serve other people? Do you follow me on Facebook? Do you follow me on Instagram? Do you see and know and understand what's going on here in and through this church? Do you care that much? And then beyond that, friends, are you concerned enough about the kingdom of God to participate so that we can take new territory together? Friends, I gotta tell you, I am not afraid of COVID. I'm not afraid of what's going on in the world right now. I am so excited about this opportunity that we have to reach more people. I can barely stand it. I'm so energized. I get exhausted, but I'm energized at the same time. Friends, let's make sure we take our territory in these troubling times. The book of 1 Thessalonians is gonna give us, again, great vision, great inspiration, and a great education of what it looks like to take new territory in troubling times. So I want you to prepare your hearts for this book, for this study, most importantly, for the Holy Spirit to speak to you over the coming weeks. Friends, we're not slowing down. Church isn't closed. We're reaching out. We're crying out. We're believing God for great things. I want you to be a part of it. Let's make a difference together, shall we? One more time, what are we talking about? We're talking about taking new territory, even in troubling times. God bless you, friends. Let's pray together now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we're asking you, Lord, that you would so speak to each and every one of us personally about what it looks like for us to take new territory. What does that look like? For the dad, the husband, the mom, the wife? What does it look like for the kids? The high school student, the college student? What does that look like for you to take new territory? Our wee little ones, what does it look like for them to take new territory? Parents, listen to me. Them taking new territory is gonna be directly related to you taking new territory. And so, Lord, would you speak to us by your Spirit about what it looks like for us personally? God, would you speak to us here at church about what it looks like to take new territory corporately? And God, may we walk with you in these things. Lord, we repent right now. where we've retreated, where we've been overly cautious, overly safe, even paranoid to the point where we've been paralyzed. God, speak to us. God, empower us to take new territory. In Jesus' name, the strong Son of God. God bless you, Grace Chapel family. We will see you tonight, 5 o'clock, Williamson County Ag Center, for Beyond Our Walls, because we're taking new territory and we want you to do it with us. God bless you, friends. We'll see you soon.